Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
So can we hear me from the other side?
It's
just flip the camera.
Okay. Okay, I think Busola is trying to do some technical things here. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, I think she's achieved success now. So can we see me? Can we hear my voice?
Yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Please, if you can hear me, say amen.
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 If you can hear me, say hallelujah.
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 Amen. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. We thank God for much help today. We thank God for the worship and the prayers that have come forth. It's only but a confirmation, even to the burden that, you know, that the Lord has laid in my heart today. The burden, which is from the book of Zechariah chapter 12, from verse 10, it says, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, that they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." So it's just very evident that indeed the spirit of supplication is upon us. The spirit of supplication is upon this house. And we thank God for the much prayers, you know, the worship and the prayers, supplication, which involves both worship and prayers, the incense of the saint being lifted high continuously for a perpetual offering unto God and unto his throne. So we thank God and we see that evident, you know, amongst us, even as the cause of this meeting has gone. So we thank God for that, and we continue to just depend on the Lord. We continue to just look unto him in respect to our life and even for the life of the young ones amongst us. For the Lord has spoken to us as a body. He said, "I will bless your food. I will bless your water." He said, "Because you are serving me, I will bless your food. I will bless you. And I will take away sickness from the midst of you." So there will be no form of sickness. There will be no form of weariness. There will be no form of tiredness. He said, "No one shall be barren amongst you." So that is both spiritual barrenness and even physical barrenness. There will be nothing of such. For the spirit of grace and supplication will be poured upon us as a house.
Amen.
And there will be ability to do even beyond the human capacity. Men will be able to interact with God. Men will be able to have fellowship even like never before.
Amen.
Given the emphasis of the spirit even in this time. Hallelujah. I'm just going to move straight. I'll go to the book of Acts chapter 15, which is the second, you know, witness to the same body. Acts chapter 15. I'll read directly from the verse 16. Now, we read the book of Zechariah that talks about the pouring of the spirit of grace and supplication. Now, that pouring is for a purpose. It's not just for the sake of just receiving grace, receiving and just feel good. No, it's for a purpose. Verse 16 of Acts chapter 15 says, "And after this, I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which is falling down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up." It said that the residue of men may seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord who dwelt all these things. Now, the purpose of the pouring of grace and supplication is for a building. It's because God is set to build his church. He said, "For I will build my church, and the gate of hell will not prevail." And that building involves both building individuals. You know, our brother speaking couple, you know, Sundays ago, he talked about capacity building. So this spirit of grace and supplication is for capacity building.
Mm-hmm.
So that God will build us up as individuals and will also build his church even to a greater height, even to a greater strength. listening to the prayer, someone had prayed. It says, for in that day, for the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted. That is a building that would lift up the mountain, and the mountain will be exalted even above the hills. Now, in those particular witnesses, we see a building. God is in the business of building. God is in the business of building. Building us as a church. Building us as individuals. And is building us even for the time to come. For in that time to come, God will require men of stature. Men of renown. Men that are able to stand even the test of time. He said, for iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. But the capacity building that God is building us in this time would increase men in stature. That even though iniquity goes to the very highest level, capacity will be there. Our brother praying, he says that we may be unshakable. We may be unmovable and always abiding in him. Why? Because of stability. There will be much grace. There will be much stability to be able to stand the test of times. Come what may, a people will stand in him. But they will be built. They will be as a building that is built upon a solid rock. So there's a theme of building. As I'm just speaking, I just keep saying, just an emphasis of the Spirit on building. God is in the process of building. Areas where we may have found struggles, found difficulties, be it in prayer life, be it in times of just devoting yourself to God. You know, times of spending time in scripture, you read the Bible, you find it somewhat boring. Maybe you can go for 5 minutes and then you just feel bored. Lord, the Lord is in the process of building. He's building capacity that you would see grace helping you to do things in a higher dimension that you have ever done. Not because God has not been with you, but because in this time, God is set to pour forth grace. For a deluge of grace and supplication for the purpose of capacity building so that men can stand in stature. It says for in the book of Revelation, it says for that we might be as a pillar in the house of God. There will be no going out and going in. There will be no instability, but we will be stable in him. God is building men that will be stable in him, that will know him, that will stand in him, that will not be moved by all what the times will bring, but that they will remain consistent, unshakable, unmovable, and always abounding, even in the work of God. So the purpose of grace and supplication is to be strengthened for the work of God, for the work of the ministry, for the work of the, until we all come even to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man and unto the measure of the fullness of the stature in Christ. So the stature building is the stature in Christ, the stature of Christ, that we may all come to that stature that Christ had, that we may all come to that stature. Our brother sharing this morning, he made reference to the book of Galatians chapter 4 verse 1. He said, and heir, as long as he's a child, differeth not from a servant, though he be the Lord of all. He said, but he's under tutors and governor. That is for the purpose of capacity building. It's under tutor and governors until the time appointed. So there's a time appointed where God indeed will bring us to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now we will no longer be children. We say for when you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you. That will no longer be the case. We would grow even to the measure as individuals and even as a body, to the fullness of the stature of Christ. I just pray that the Lord will help us. Amen. And the Lord will give us grace to be able to see what he is doing in this time. To be able to apply ourselves to it. To the building that God is doing. God is building in this time. There is a building going on, brethren. God is building capacity. God is building individuals in stature. Prayer lives are being built. You know, times and ability to devote yourself to God, to study, to show yourself approved. Ability and excitement is being built. Capacity increase on every side. Now, if we look at the scripture, there's always been a theme of building. Exodus chapter 25, verse 8 or 7. It says, let them build me a tabernacle. Let me just go there real quick. Let them build me a tabernacle that I may dwell amongst them. Let me see. Exodus chapter. Oh, my sister is also here. God bless you, Sister Mercy. Always there. You got my back. So he said, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst them. God has been in the business of building. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Now, this was obviously in reference to Moses' tabernacle, to the tabernacle of Moses. And now, if we look at this same chapter, the verse 40, if God is instructing them to build, he has a particular idea of what that building will look like. Verse 40, and look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee even in the mount. So there's a pattern that God has given unto the people. Let them build after that pattern. So even the building that God is doing in this time is after a pattern. God building that is going on in this time is after a pattern. The return and even the building again, the tabernacle of David, is after a pattern. So there's a pattern that was given in the building. In the previous building, God moved in buildings from the building of tabernacle to tents and even to temples. There's been a process of building, and every of those buildings was built after a pattern. So there is a pattern, brethren. There is a pattern. If we look at the book of Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us that we have not come to the mountain that shall be touched. So we have not come to the mountain where the pattern was given to Moses. That's not where we have come. We have not come to Mount Sinai. Hebrews chapter 12, maybe from the verse 22. We have not come to Mount Sinai. There was a pattern given in Mount Sinai. Let them build after the pattern. The law was given to them in Mount Sinai. He said, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth come from the Lord Jesus Christ. So Moses received a pattern. The Lord Jesus Christ also is giving us a pattern. As a matter of fact, as we read further down, if what Moses received from the mountain was a pattern, and that was Mount Sinai, when we look at the New Testament equivalent, what we see is Mount Zion. He said, for we have not come to the mountain, Hebrews chapter 12. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. So the pattern that Moses built by was only but a type and a shadow to a pattern that we have. And brethren, we must all understand the pattern. We must know what the pattern is. We must know that there is a pattern, and we must know what that pattern is. He says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, and the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect. Now, in that same mountain, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, we see that on Mount Zion, there is a pattern there, and that pattern is Christ. Christ is the pattern upon Mount Zion. So, if we go to the book of Revelation chapter 14, verse 1, Revelation chapter 14, verse 1, it tells us there that for lo, 14 verse 1, it says, and I look, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion. That lamb is the pattern, and that lamb is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the pattern. Jesus is the pattern. So the building that God is building in this time is after the pattern of Jesus Christ. So Moses received a pattern that the tabernacle was built upon, and those tabernacles were but a shadow pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that there are different tabernacles. And interestingly, when we look at those tabernacles, each of those tabernacles have different significance. We are not going to compare one with the other because each of those tabernacles have different emphases. So when the tabernacle of Moses is made reference to, it's because there's an emphasis that the Lord is speaking of. So when the tabernacle of David is made reference to, there's an emphasis that the Lord is speaking of. When the temple that of Solomon is made reference to, there is an emphasis that the Lord is speaking of. So now, from the body that we read, we saw that the rebuilding is the tabernacle of David. Now, not to put one tabernacle better than the other, like we said, there are different emphases. When we look at the tabernacle of Moses, with all the nitty-gritties, with all the furnitures, there are different emphases. The table of the showbread, the altar of incense, the brazen altar, all these things are very important and they cannot be thrown away. They cannot be ruled out. However, when we make reference to the, when compared to the temple of Solomon, we look at it, we see a different emphasis of the spirit. When Solomon's temple is brought in view, you hear of the glory. He said, for which of you saw this house in his first glory? So the glory that the believer will come into is the emphasis of the soul of Solomon's temple. He said, for I reckon unto you that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. So we see, when we look at Solomon's temple, the emphasis is the glory that the Lord has put in stock for us. When we look at Moses' tabernacle, we see a clear journey from our salvation experience to glory. From the first furniture to the Ark of the Covenant, where the glory of God to the holiest of all, from the outer courts to the holiest of all. So it is very important, and there will be times where it is needful to make reference to it and to see the meaning of all these simple things, of all these things, and how they relate to the building that God is building us in. But when we look at the temple, when we look at the tent of David, we see that all of those furnitures are no longer there. There is no table of showbread. There is no lampstands. There is no, like, all of those little furnitures are no longer there. What is just there is just the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant. That is bringing emphasis to a personal relationship with God. The tabernacle of David is an emphasis to a personal relationship with God. And I tell you, brethren, that's the reason why when we hear the word of the Lord that has been coming of lately, we hear the instruction, get into the chamber. I don't know if our sister can help us just put that particular scripture. To get into the chamber and shut thy door. There is an emphasis that the Lord is saying. And when we don't really, if we don't really understand, we might think, oh, the Lord is giving us a scripture so that we can hide from COVID. COVID is not the focus here. There is something that God is doing. And that scripture is pointing an emphasis for each and everyone to go. He said, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy door about thee and hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. There is something that the Lord is doing that requires his people to run into the chamber. And that particular experience is not so different from what David's tent is pointing us to. So David's tent is a chamber tent. It's a tent of the closet, where it's just you and God. Your relationship with God, your one-on-one relationship with God. That's what David's tent. That's why all the furnitures are put aside. Not because they are not important. Not because we are done away with them. No. All the table of showbread, the menorah, the Ark of the Covenant, and all the, what's it called, the brazen altar, the brazen laver, and all those things. No, they are not to be discarded. But when we look at David's tent, there's an emphasis on your personal relationship with God. So when we hear that instruction, go into that chamber, it's not so different from what Jesus taught them. So when we go to the book of Mark chapter 6, when Jesus was teaching them how to pray, what do we see there? They told Jesus, teach us how to pray. Even as John the Baptist taught his disciples, let's see the instruction that Jesus gave. And let's see how very parallel it is with this scripture we just read. He said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Now, this is also pretty much what the Lord has been saying. But then maybe with the COVID and everything, a different tone came from a prophetic tone, pointing to the same thing that Jesus is saying, a closet experience. The tabernacle of David is a closet experience. So God is set to build up individuals' personal life with him, personal relationship with him. Your personal prayer life, God is set to build it up. The spirit of grace and supplication is to build up personal experiences. That the experience will not be limited just only to the corporate. Now, the corporate experience is not to be put in, is not to be put away. No. For no one man can become perfect on with himself. The fullness of the stature of Christ is a body. It's a body thing. It's not an individual thing. However, there's still emphasis on individual experiences. God does not want us to be lost in the crowd. He wants us to have a personal relationship with Him, a personal commitment to Him, a personal attention. Give Him a personal attention. And God, when He sees your walk in the secret, He rewards you openly. I look at it and I say, that's interesting. So, when we have the closest experience and God sees our devotion to Him, He sees the nature of our devotion, He sees the motive of our devotion. Now, someone can have a closest experience, but their motive is not right. Paul was walking in a particular place. He said he beheld their altar, and upon the altar was an inscription to an unknown God. So people serving a God that they do not know. That's the reason why the emphasis on your personal relationship to know Him. He says so that the people may look at Him who they've pierced. So in the tabernacle of David experience, emphasis is on Christ. To look at Him who they've pierced. It's no longer yourself. It's no longer the word. It's no longer what the word has to offer, but that which God has offered. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So the emphasis become you and Christ. So that you may see Him. That you may see Christ. He said that they may behold the Lord. That they may look unto the Lord. So Christ becomes the emphasis. Christ becomes the focus. Why? Because He is the pattern. The building that God is doing in this time is to build men after the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. Building men after the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is in the business of building you and I after the pattern of the Lord Jesus. That's why we call Him the pattern son. We don't call Him the pattern son just as someone you just think about. Oh, someone you just, look up to or look. No, it's because your life eventually will be formed completely after His own life. Your character will be conformed after His own character. He's the pattern son. He's the pattern that stood upon Mount Zion. He's the pattern that is standing upon the church. So it's not any man that is the pattern.
That's right.
So if there's anyone looking at any man or looking for men to look, and which is possible. In the time of old, the people were looking for a king. They had God, but they were not satisfied. They said, give us a king like other nation. So if there's anyone who is looking for a king like other nation, you will not find any here. Because in the New Testament experience, Christ is the pattern. Christ is the one that we are to look up to. Christ is the one that we should look at. And we should not be like them of old. We should not be looking for king like other nation. We should not compare our experience like other different experiences that we see in the church world today. Let us continue to look at Christ. Let us continue to look at Him. Let our emphasis be towards Him. Let our eyes not be shifted from Him. Our brother was praying the last prayer. He said, let our eyes be single. What that means is that let it be a focus on Him, on Jesus Christ. He said, if your eye, he said, for the eyes is the light, is the light of the body, right? The eyes is the lamp of the body, right? Or how did the scripture put it?
The eye is the light of the body.
Light of the body is the eye. Mm-hmm. He said, but if your eyes is single, your body shall be full of light.
That's right.
He said, but if your eyes be double, if your eyes be distracted, if you're looking for other things beside Christ, he says your body will be full of what? Of darkness. And if the light that you think you have is darkness,
Jesus.
You say, how great is that darkness?
Oh, dear Jesus.
So the emphasis here is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Your single eyes should be looking at Him alone.
Yes.
Let your eyes be single, focused, one priority, one pattern. Let us not mistake the Old Testament and the New Testament.
That's right.
We look at the pattern of the old, look at the pattern of the new. We must understand the old is a pointer to the new. The Old Testament pattern is a pointer to the New Testament pattern, and which is the Lord Jesus Christ. For all those things are a shadow of the things to come, but the reality is Christ. Colossians chapter 2 verse 18 or so. The reality is Christ. So the reality is Christ. What God is building in this time is after the pattern of Christ. Mm-hmm. Brethren, God is in the business of building. God is building us up. God is building his church. When he's building his church, it's not just a corporate experience. God is building individuals. Mm. Now, the stature of the individuals is what will determine the stature of the church. Mm. So God, in building his church, is building individuals. A church cannot be built where the individuals are not built. No. God is in the business of building us individuals in different areas, and giving us capacity to be able to relate with him. Our relationship with him is of utmost importance. Hallelujah. Now, that is on this understanding of building is where the burden of this message is actually, you know, built upon. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 32. My sister can just help us go there to see why is this grace given? What's the purpose of grace? And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace to do what? Which is able to build you up. So grace is a material of building. That's what God is to build his people. The word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. So we're looking at grace in the capacity of building. Grace as it relates to what God is building. And I tell you, brethren, God is in the business of building. God is building us individual, our personal relationship, our personal experiences. Everything that we have heard about Christ will no longer be just theory. It will be an experience. Amen. All what Jesus has done will be an experience. It will not be far-fetched. It will be something that you encounter on a daily basis.
Amen.
Miracles will be a lifestyle.
Amen.
Experiences and breakthrough will not be something that you have to do a lot of things about. No. Your daily experience will be full of breakthrough.
Amen.
Setbacks and all form of hindrance will be completely kicked away. Why? Because the spirit of grace and supplication will be given. And the spirit of, there will be so much building. We see that grace is for the purpose of building. It will build you up. It will build up your prayer life. It will build up your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It will build up your ability to seek. Now, we know how to seek. We know how to seek, but there is a dimension of seeking when you are able to seek with all of your heart.
Mm.
Grace will be given to seek with all of our heart. Grace will be given to be able to seek God. And I tell you, Brian, that's the only reason why prayers cannot be answered. You say you ask, but you do not receive. Why? Because you pray amiss. Why do you pray amiss? You pray to receive, to consume it to your own lust. So when you are seeking with all of your heart, you are seeking with a heart that says, God, if you give me, I give back to you. That is what it is. If you give me, I give. It's not for my own lust. It's not for my own personal consumption. But it's for so that I can give it up to you. You give it to me that I may give it back to you. That I may give it back to your purpose. That I may give it back to your own agenda and your program for my life and for the body of Christ. That is how we seek. That's how we seek so that we do not consume on our own lust. So that our prayers are not left unanswered. You say you pray, you ask, but you do not receive because you ask amiss. It's not because you are asking for the wrong thing, because you are asking with the wrong motive. That's what it means. You are asking with the wrong motive so that you may consume it for your own lust. So the Lord is going to give us power. The Lord is going to engrace us for his own purpose, for his own motive, for his own agenda, for his own program over our life. Hallelujah. So this particular meditation that we are going through, we are going to consider grace in different aspects. We are going to consider grace that brings salvation. That's aspect number one. Aspect number two, we are going to consider the grace that helps us to overcome sin for the purpose of character building. Number two. Then number three, we are going to consider grace for ministerial empowerment for the purpose of authority building, the advantage of a believer. Then number four, we are going to look at the practicality of growing in grace. So that is the laid out outline of this particular meditation. I repeat it again. The number one, we are going to look at the grace that brings salvation. Number two, we're going to look at grace The grace that helps us to overcome sin for the purpose of character building. And we're going to look at grace for ministerial empowerment for the purpose of authority building and the practicality of growing in grace. That is what that is going to be the outline, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen and amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, we just thank you. Father, we just bless you. Father, we just appreciate you. We just thank you. We just thank you. I'm just looking at the time, and I've been counseled not to rush and everything, and I definitely would heed to that counsel. I just wanted to just maybe just, you know, in the side, just mention that. So while we are actually, you know, listening or this meditation, let us actually be encouraged to actually take down questions. As the message is going on, let us be encouraged to actually write down questions. If there are areas that seem unclear, let us write it down. And at some point during the message, let us write it down, pass it on to Brother Salawu, just pass on the questions to him. And as time goes on, at some point, we will bring the questions together and look at them. And it's not just for this particular meditation. We have done it sometime in the past. I think when Uncle was sharing with us the will of God, and it was a beautiful experience. You know, people are able to learn from questions, things are made clear and everything. So we just want to make that, you know, somewhat of a custom, you know, that as message is going on, just be at liberty. If there are any things that seem a little, just note it down. If you're having a question, there's a high chance that someone else also have that question. So just note it down. And then at some point in the meditation, we will bring the questions together and also look at it. I just wanted to just mention that there. So, given the time, we have the outline, we have the particular progression that we are going to look, you know, in terms of the in regards to this meditation. And I'm just weighing it in my spirit. I believe what we should just, you know, what we should just go home with today is to understand what God is doing in this time. God is indeed in the place of building. God is actually building us up. The purpose of the spirit of grace and supplication is for the purpose of building. God is building us up. God is wanting us to go beyond where we are. God is in the business of taking away every form of spiritual stunted growth, that we may all grow, even in experience. We will grow in knowledge. We will grow in understanding. We will grow in experience. The knowledge will not just remain just head knowledge, it will be experience. We will grow in wisdom. We will grow in understanding, counsel. We will grow in might, ability. We will grow in knowledge and even the fear of the Lord. Grace is given for the purpose of building. Grace is given for the purpose of building. So I believe we can just, maybe just take time to just pray. Let's just take time to just pray. And then the coming week, we will just go on so that we don't take so much time. And we thank God as the way the Spirit has led today, in terms of prayers. Let's just continue in that line. Let's just pray. But before we start to pray, I would just like for, you know, Brother Philip and Sister Nonso to just take that particular song again, because that song really captures the first part of this particular burden that we'll be looking at next week. The grace has found me. The grace that finds me. So as we look at this particular number one, I like the way Mercy 2 put it there. The Lord bless you mightily. The Lord bless you. So as we meet next week, we're going to consider that particular number one to see that we did not actually go for grace. Grace came for us. Grace found us. That's what we're going to look at. And then we can move progressively in looking at the grace that God has made readily available for us to overcome sin, so that we cannot have excuse to say, I was not able to. It was bigger than me. No, grace is available to overcome sin. The Bible says Jesus was in all wise tempted as we are, but yet without sin. That is capacity. He had stature. And God is set to bring us to that stature that Jesus was. That temptation would come, but we would not be moved. He was in all wise tempted as we are, but he was without sin. And we are going to see that God has given us grace as an advantage of the believer for authority building. Jesus spoke to the wind, and the people were amazed. They said, "Wow, even the wind obey him." That is authority. We are going to see that God has given us this same allocation, that we may also walk in advantage. That we may walk in advantage over the natural that we see. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And we are going to look at the practicality of growing in grace. How do you grow in grace? We are going to look at it, you know, in details. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we just thank God for today. We thank him. Just have, you know, Sister Nonso and Brother Philip to just help us. Just take that particular song. That grace indeed has found us. Brethren, there is no need for you to be going up and down looking for grace. Grace has found you. Grace has picked you up from where you are. Grace, that same grace that has found you, will take you to where God wants you to be. Grace has located you. Grace will send you to where you ought to be. Hallelujah. Let's just apply our hearts. Let us begin to pray. And let's begin to sing. If you know the song, sing. And let's begin to pray. And that's where we'll just round up for today. And we'll take it on next week. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Grace has found me just as I am.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Empty-handed, but alive in your hands. Now we sing majesty, for your grace. Your grace has found me just as I am. Your grace has found me just as I am.